children's time.
I'm collecting children up. So children, come on up, children. Follow me, children. Any other children? Young at heart people? I have a small group here. So anyone that wants to be a child or get a sticker. You want a sticker? No? Come on up. How about over here? You want a stickers? You want a sticker? Come on up. No, you don't want a sticker? You want a sticker? See, I practice all week, and I never know the age group. And now I can do this. That's awesome. Okay. Oh, look at that. Thank you very much. Got the whole family up here. They want stickers. So let me tell you a little story first. I was out with my granddaughter. She's 5. Her name is Sarah. And we hang out, and we are at the Capitol. And we're wandering around the Capitol, and you know acorns? You know the little acorns? You're old enough. I don't pretend you don't know what acorn is. So, but she has little acorns, and she would collect acorns and walk over and hand them to people. And she'd walk over like this. She'd have an acorn, and she says, "Hello, I'd like you to have this." And she'd give you a little acorn. I should have brought acorns. That would have been, said I have stickers. I want you to have this. Here we go. Okay. And she'd walk over, and she would hand over strangers little acorns and say, "I want you to have this." What is this? Not the sticker, but what is this act? It's giving. It's generosity. What's a little bit different about generosity? Oh, I may have ran out of stickers. I didn't, though. That's good. I almost overdid it here. So what is generosity? Anyone?
Overflowing giving.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Giving to other people.
Giving to other people. Anyone else?
That's it.
Giving without expectation.
Right. It's a surprise gift is what I call it. So what are different ways we can give? What are the different ways we give things? What are different things we can do? Look at your little stickers. I'll give you a hint. Okay. What are some things you can give? Time. We can give our time. So for those of you who don't, you can't see it. I should have a big display. Pretend it's displayed up here. We have a little sticker with 4 different things on it. We have a clock, which is time. How do you give time? Is it like you look at the watch and say it's 5 o'clock when someone asks you? No? How do you give time?
She got the answer right next to you. She said
volunteering.
Volunteering. Very good answer. So what are other things we can give?
Love.
Well, that's the punchline. Forget the heart. Forget the heart. You blew it. Right there. What else? Other hands that are in there. What is another hand?
We can give goods.
Give goods. Like we have do food drives. Clothing. We have a family here that gives clothing to my granddaughter, which is awesome. And she gets to wear pretty dresses, and then she gives those gifts off to someone else. That's a way of giving. What else do we have? What else is on that little sticker?
Money.
Money. We give money. That's important. And one last thing. What's the last thing that was in there? Food, clothing. Oh, that's our stuff. Never mind. We got stuff covered. Okay, now it comes to the heart.
Can I say it?
Yeah. Love.
When we give it with love, That is the way that generosity really comes in there. It's giving it all with our hearts and with total love. So can you, would you children like to say a prayer with me? Normally I have someone say it with me, but we'll bow our heads. So let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for unexpected gifts. Help us to become more generous with our time, our possessions, our money, and to give it with a loving heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. God of love and generosity, we come here today with burdens from our lives and joys from our lives. And we bring them all here to this place. Allow us to turn them over to you and to be in your presence fully and wholly. Open us to awareness of you. Amen. Today we are continuing in our stewardship series of bearing fruit, and it's the 5 practices of fruitful congregations. Today we are at the final one, which is generosity, extravagant generosity. And so as I was thinking through this week, as I always do, kind of leading up, this story kept coming back to me of back when I was a kid. I was a was a swimmer. I'm still a swimmer. But back in the summer league days, did any of you swim in summer league? For your neighborhood pool or anything like that? No? Well, it was a really big thing in my neighborhood. And so we all swam in the summers. And at the end of the league, you know, it lasted maybe 6 weeks or so. And at the end of it, we always had a really big party after the last final championship meet. And of course, at this party, as happened every year, the coaches got thrown in the pool. It was just a given. It was going to happen. They knew it was coming. But I remember this one year. I think I was 13, maybe 14 or so. And I remember it because it got a little out of hand. I'm sure none of you have ever gotten out of hand when you're celebrating something, but this got a little out of hand. And after the coaches were in, then the parents started getting involved and the lifeguards were being thrown in. And then the older swimmers were being thrown in. And then those people that had been thrown in, they got back out and they went around and hunted down those parents that had thrown them in. And then the parents were being thrown in. And I remember it because my dad was one of those parents. And so I remember because when we got home, of course, my dad didn't have a towel and he's dripping wet on the way home. And we get home and he pulls out his soggy wallet. And he starts hanging the bills and everything over a line to dry. And I remember because I had just finished confirmation about a month or two earlier. And I made one of those really cheeky, nerdy jokes about his wallet being baptized. And he did not find it funny. Thankfully, those were the days before cell phones, so no iPhones were heard in this story. But that story kind of came back to me as I was thinking about extravagant generosity this week. And I thought about the baptizing of our wallets and how so often when we are baptized in the Methodist Church, we have this beautiful little bowl rather than a tank that you dunk in. And we have this little bowl and we sprinkle. And that's sufficient. It's a sign of God's grace, and sprinkling on our heads is sufficient. But it also made me wonder, it kind of leaves our pockets out. I wonder what would happen if when we were baptized, if we were dunked, wallet and all. It makes me think of that old mythology about Achilles. Have any of you heard the story, how we got the term Achilles heel? Where when he was kind of dunked in this pool that would make him immortal, I guess, he was held by his heels. And so that part where the fingers were holding didn't get the protection. And that's why we have such vulnerable heels these days. And I wonder if we kind of do that with our wallets too. If we let our whole selves be baptized into God's grace and presence, but we kind of keep our wallets out. We let those be the one thing that we don't really totally let dip into the waters. As I was thinking, you know, I think that's why it's one of the hardest topics that we talk about in church. Is anybody uncomfortable right now? I'm going to take a little poll. How many are uncomfortable? My hand is up. Talking about money makes us so uncomfortable. Have you ever thought about why? Maybe that's because that's the one thing that we have a hard time totally turning over. Maybe it's because that's the one thing that we like to keep out of the splash zone. Because it does make us uncomfortable, because we do have this kind of ownership of it, this kind of grip on us. That's really hard sometimes. So last night, my husband Travis is a Lutheran minister, and we had a group from his Lutheran church over, and I was planning on, ironically, quoting something from Luther, and I learned last night that he might have not actually said this, but that it's attributed to him. But either way, it's a really good quote. And in the 500-year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, which, if you're in this room, you're probably a Protestant. That was when the church split off from the Catholic Church. That 500-year anniversary is coming up in a couple weeks. And so I felt like we needed a little Luther in here. whether he said it or not, but he's attributed with saying that every Christian needs to experience three conversions. Three conversions. Conversion of the heart. How do we feel about that? Does that feel good? Feels right. Conversion of the mind. Still feeling good. And conversion of the purse. How are we feeling now? That's a hard one. And that was why I think Luther or whoever said it listed it with heart and mind. Because it is a hard one. It is one that we struggle with. We struggle to totally give it over to God. And yet, if you ever read through the Gospels, just read straight through them, you'll find that over a third of what Jesus talks about, a third of what Jesus talks about in the Gospels has to do with money and possessions. So we could up our game and we could start preaching one third of our sermons on money and possessions, and we might start getting a little bit more comfortable with it, but I think our membership might drop too. But there's a reason that it is among those three things listed as the greatest conversions we need. Because it is one of those things that Jesus had to preach on all the time because it's hard and we don't get it. It is the thing that has the biggest grip on us. Well, Bishop Schnazy, our current bishop, who wrote the book that we have been going through, he uses the term extravagant generosity to talk about this. And it's not just of our wallets, but extravagant generosity of our time, of our talents, of all of the gifts that God has given us. And most of us don't really have a hard time with the time and the talents. It's that last one. In one of his letters to the church in Corinth, Paul talks at length about the people's need to give financially to the work of Christ in the world. Primarily to the church in Jerusalem, but Paul is talking to them and he uses an example of a seed. And he talks about how if we just plant one or two seeds, we'll have a little crop or two, but the more we plant, the more we let go and set aside to grow and to do good, that's the only way it really grows. That's the only way it produces fruit and grows into something that can then feed and nourish. I invite you to hear these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as human creatures, we are full of good intentions. Mm-hmm. We have really good intentions when we say we're going to do something, and following through with it is sometimes harder. So what Paul is asking for here is he's asking for them to make a commitment. He's asking for them to say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to let you hold me accountable to this. It's kind of like the difference between when you're in a dating relationship versus engaged versus married. There's a difference there. Something changes when you make those vows. about a year and a half ago, I stood right here and I didn't really think much would change in our relationship, but it changed. It felt different. There was something more real. And I can't speak for my wonderful husband who's actually with us today. Hi. But I can speak for myself. And how it does feel different when we make that commitment. And Paul is trying to get this church to say we are going to support the work of Christ with our whole beings, with our time and our talents and our homes and our purse. And there's power in making that commitment. One of our goals this year is as a church, we're encouraging all of the members of the church to make a commitment. It doesn't matter how much. The amount is between you and God. It could be $5 a month, but you know, if every family unit that is not currently making a pledge or giving to the church, if every single family unit were to give just $5 a month, were to commit to $5 a month, we would have almost an extra $40,000 to go towards the ministries of what this church can do in the community. Making that commitment, it doesn't matter how large or small, can you commit to $1? $1 a month. It's that act. Because you know when you commit to something, when you have actual buy-in into that something, it changes something in you. And that's what we're going for. Does it take money to run a church? Yes. But that's not the bigger issue here. When I was a youth and I was growing up, every summer we would go on a mission trip. And it was a huge church, much bigger than this even. But the youth of the church would sell stock in our mission trip. And so we would be on the phone and we'd call members and ask for members to buy stock in the youth. And most people would give, you know, $5 or so. It wasn't a huge amount, and that was fine. It was partially about the money, but largely it was about the church investing in us, investing in thought and in prayer. And by giving that $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, whatever they gave, they bought in not only with their money, but with their hearts into the youth. And there's power in that. Because we knew when we went on that trip that every single person that had given even $1 towards us was praying for us. If you're able to make that commitment of even $1 a month, the intentionality behind that means that you are sold, you are in, you are a part of the ministry of this church and what this church can do in the community and the transformation of the world for God. And that's what we're looking for. Our God is too great to keep out of the baptismal waters. Our God is too great to keep our hearts partitioned off. Our God is too great to only give part of ourselves. Let us pray. God, we confess that so often it is easier just to baptize part of our whole selves. We confess that we think of our money as being our personal business, our private affairs, as not having anything to do with our ministry here in the church. God, help us to bring our whole selves, not just part of ourselves, but our whole selves, to your baptismal waters. Engulf us entirely in your grace. God, we pray for the members of this church and the greater community who have been on an Emmaus weekend for this past weekend. As our time comes to a close, we pray that you might grant them a grace and an encounter with you unlike anything that they have ever experienced. God, as they are filled with joy, we pray for them as they return back and step into a world that is broken, a world that is suffering. God, there is joy in this world, and we pray for each one of us that every single day we might be able to find a piece of that joy and celebrate it. God, as we encounter and we lift up those moments, we pray that our hearts our minds, our wallets, our prayers might extend to those in California engulfed in flames, for the families who have lost loved ones, for the families who have lost homes, the thousands of homes and businesses. God, grant your peace. Might they find a piece of hope in every day. Hope that there will be a tomorrow, that they can rebuild. And God, today we pray for all of those victims of abuse of all kinds, those affected directly and indirectly. We know how often we do more harm than good with our words, but God, might our actions show love and support. Might they know the church to be a safe place, a place for healing and for finding hope. And God, together we pray the prayer that you taught us, praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.